This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play Podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP Podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across... Welcome back to the Scrims Play Podcast. This is the playoff edition. We got a lot of big-time games coming up, and we've got some teams that really work their way. We got two number one seeds in the area. We got a team in the playoffs for the first time since 2000. We got a squad that is back in it after 2 years of really rough seasons. And we got another team that is getting a chance to go on the road and play in the playoffs for the first time since 2015. So some exciting stuff. We're going to dive into that playoff picture and break down those matchups for you. Starting a little bit later, but first we're doing the awards from last week, and we got to start with the C&G Road Grader of the Week, and it's David Munoz out there in Louisa County.
Yeah, I mean, Robbie Gwynn won one of these earlier in the year.
Yes.
Probably deserves it every week.
Robbie Gwynn's one of the best.
But you look at the way that this offensive line has developed, David Munoz has been a huge part of that, and they've gotten the job done all year. I mean, you look at Louisa's offensive stats across the board. Between Jarrett Hunter, Caleb Shelton, and Alex Washington, they blocked for everybody. Done a great job protecting the pocket for Rob Allender when he has to drop back and throw. But last week, they paved the way for Hunter to go for 27 carries, 256 yards, 4 touchdowns. That's a pretty good line as a team.
Right.
As a team, 55 plays, 346 yards of rushing. So that's 6.29 yards every time they touch the ball. David Munoz and the boys up front doing the job.
Yeah.
6.29 is pretty good.
Crazy is that Will Patrick was saying that they have not started the same five on the offensive line all year. They've been really mixing it up, trying to find the right guys. Obviously, Munoz and Gwynn, they've been kind of stalwarts, and then you got the center. He's really stepped up in a big way. I mean, I think that they finally found that right mix, but I can also imagine Louise is going to keep tweaking until they really got it right.
I mean, the thing there with Louisa is they actually have a luxury that very few teams have. Most teams would be starting the same five guys no matter what because
those are the five guys they got.
Yeah. Whereas Louisa, I mean, they're doing a little bit of platooning between the offensive and defensive lines. You've got a group of guys that's large enough that you can tinker with it. You can work people in and out. And, I mean, you don't have to play people for the entire game. You can work somebody in at guard if you want, after a couple quarters and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been so far ahead of opponents that they've gotten the opportunity in the second half to completely play around.
And it's not the only place they've been tweaking. They played, I think it was Isaiah Nichols that came out of nowhere as a corner that hadn't started until the Western game. I mean, they are messing around with these pieces outside of guys like Brandon Smith and guys like, Austin Sims and Aaron Aponte and
last year.
You just want Joe Whalen to be around forever, man. As good a back as we've seen. So, but you got Jarrett Hunter, same sort of situation where, he's a guy who he's really, they've moved him around to quarterback and running back, and he's just got some versatile guys that know the game.
And we've seen this, I don't think it's surprising with Patrick. No job is necessarily like safe with him.
Yeah,
he's getting whoever's out there producing, that's who he wants on the field. And I think that's always cool for a player because you're gonna have guys just come in and be like, okay, I have to come out here and make plays. So you got starving, hungry players, guys that want to go out there and do work. And that's his coaching mentality. And that's what we've seen from Louisa is, how do you go undefeated through the regular season last year and come back with a chip on your shoulder and sort of do what Louisa's done where like they feel like they're getting slighted.
they do. It's unbelievable.
It's awesome. They're pounding people and they're like, we don't get enough respect.
I love it.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I love the approach. I love what they're doing. It's super fun to watch. They really did a nice job of taking care of business, especially that second half against Fluvanna County. They created 6 turnovers on defense. I mean, they're entering one of the toughest regions in the state, but you got to feel pretty good with guys like David Munoz right on your side. And Derek Barber is another
guy. The other side of the ball, I mean, huge year for him. 72 tackles, 42 of them solo,
yeah.
10 sacks, and then last week of a forced fumble. 13 QB pressures for him as well. I mean, that's
Derek Barber is tremendous on the edge, and that is a spot where they lost Tony Thurston from last year.
And then that 3-5-3.
And Devin McGee over on the other side.
And that 3-5-3, they need the guys up front to be really impactful, and he's been that.
And we've seen, too, that they're using guys – a little differently. Like, some of it looks more 3-4-ish. Some of it looks more they're stepping guys up. They're so multiple that it's really tough to get a read. They have a good game plan every week that is really well tailored. And and when you got the linebackers, they do. That's what gives you the ability to do it. Those linebackers cover as well as anybody.
Oh, they've got the horses there.
I mean, there's no question about it. So that gives you a chance to do some things with guys like Derek Barber, who are just playing like those guys are playing like dogs, man. They are playing tough right now. So, C&G Road Graders of the Week. We'll give it. Barber gets one too, man. Barber, Munoz. We got an endless supply of C&G Road Graders of the Week. Those two guys are getting it out there. Louisa, both sides of the line. I think probably the best in the area.
I don't think there's anybody that really.
I don't care how much they're changing it over the offensive line. They keep making it work, so it really doesn't matter who's over there. But we're going to dive into what they've got region wise coming up. But offensive player of the week, Hunter would have been an easy pick here, but Austin Shiflett, 222-2 against Albemarle, big time performance.
Yeah, Western. I mean, talk about that first half. I mean, Western just came out there and blew the doors off him.
Mm-hmm.
That game was over quick.
Yeah.
Albemarle was able to put up a respectable second half. But yeah, 222, two touchdowns. Western, 8-2, sits in position that they're used to being in years ago. They had sort of the 2 years where they had to rebuild and replace a lot of tools. But that, in 2014, 2015, even back in 2013, going back to the Kent Henry days, Western Albemarle football was winning a lot of games. And here they are again now at 8-2, and they're doing it. I mean, Shiflett's had a tremendous year, 1,600 yards rushing.
1,504, I believe.
And a sophomore.
Yeah.
So they've got a kid that's just going to be insanely productive for a long time. And we're not used to, Oliver Herndon had a really nice run there at running back, but we're not used to seeing Western sort of having one of those bell cow backs. Yeah. It seems like Shiflett is the dude there.
Yeah, no question about it. He's run behind a great offensive line. They're going to have to rebuild some of that next year. But he's going to be a guy who, as he gets older, he's going to be able to cover up some of those mistakes for offensive linemen. And, if they can develop some guys and put some guys in front of them, they're going to be able to move the ball, no question about it. And another offensive player of the week, easy choice, Ben Locklear. The guy just gets it done out there at Woodbury Forest.
So this is kind of a year where, he's really the only pure polished passer that we have in the area, the only guy actually dropping back and throwing a regular amount of times, even more so now because they're a little thin at running back. He's throwing 30 and 40 passes a game, but 20 for 32, 342 yards, three touchdowns against Fork Union, two of them to a freshman.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Like, Carter out of the game.
Yep, didn't dress.
The sophomore Locklear still goes 342-3.
Yeah.
The guy's the real deal.
It's really impressive. Kyle Bilodeau is a huge target for him, and when they get going, it's really tough. Because I don't know what you do about Bilodeau, a guy that large running in the middle of his field. He's a mismatch against linebackers, so you're telling me you need a defensive lineman to cover him? Size-wise, he's that much of a problem. But, Locklear's he was great, sort of in cleanup duty last year, filling in for Will Weidman. And he's just come out here and slung it. And with Carter back, and we'll see with George Pettigrew back and all these guys, I thought Scott Braswell had a really good line. There's sort of some magic Band-Aids going around for the last game of the year coming up. Everybody will suddenly be healthy for the Episcopal game. It's going to be really cool to see what he looks like at quarterback when he has all his toys. Because Carter is as good a receiver as we've seen. He's so close to breaking franchise records for them. We're going to see if he can come out and do that. But, it's nuts to do that in your sort of regular season finale on the road and missing your best guy. What a performance from him.
Yeah, and then defensively, another one easy pick would have been Brandon Smith out there in Louisa County. Got his Under Armour jersey this week. Also, I think forced three fumbles. He's over 100 tackles on the year. Brandon Smith continues doing his thing. On the flip side, though, Goochland is not getting it done at Amelia without the performance of Devin McCray.
Yeah, I mean, that game had more weight to it than I think any of the others last week. You know, that was the number one and two teams in the region going at it, two undefeateds, and Gushen comes out with a 17-15 win. Kind of a funky game, you look at it, because total yards-wise, Gushen gets 171, Amelia gets 306. You're losing that game unless you force three turnovers like Gushen did, and Devin McCray comes up with two of them, a pair of picks. That's huge. I mean, on the other side of the ball, it was huge. Yeah, I think it was 55 yards on the ground and 61 in the air. So he's sort of most responsible of for all of them. Yeah, 47-yard pass in that one too. But just a solid game from him. And he's sort of been a first-half guy these last 4 or 5 weeks. We haven't seen many carries from him. He's sort of just been handing the ball off. And now it's playoff time for Devin McCray, and we're going to see him take it to a different level and see him sort of rally these guys up. I think it was huge for Gushen getting to play in an environment like that heading into their region tournament. They're in a very short period of time, they're probably going to see Amelia again. And so we're going to see if he can and put together.
They're another the two, so I guess they'd see him won the region title game.
Yeah. 2 weeks, assuming everything goes well. But you got to win that game. You got to find a way to. Appomattox is there. All these guys, the same old teams. You got Radford playing. There's just in their region, you would like to think that Gushen can come out, but the guys around, it's the same old crew.
Because the thing is that, like, it used to be that it was this huge region, bigger region, but like this is a little different ball game. They're going to run into squads. When they get to that, they keep advancing and nothing is assured. But if they keep advancing and they move forward, then it gets 2A football is good football, man. There's a lot of really good teams. It's gotten, programs that are good all the time.
It's gotten really good in the last couple of years, the sort of resurgence. Like having Gretna back in the mix, that used to be a regular
that's
deal.
That's good.
So we're going to see a lot of good football from these schools in this tournament coming up. But yeah, to see McCray back sort of back for four quarters is really cool. It's just he's one of those guys where when the spotlight's on him, he finds a way to make a difference.
He's
and that's a team with a lot of those kind of guys, Sam Brooks and the crew. But what a showing there, and that's how you win a 17-15 game when you get outgained basically 2-1 on the ground.
Well, let's start with Goochland. We're going to preview each of these playoff games. We already got Albemarle Massaponics already happening on Thursday night while we're recording this or shortly after we record this. But let's open up with what Goochland faces. They take on a Brunswick team that's, I think, 4-6.
3-7, yeah.
3-7. It should be a manageable opener for them. Things will get a little tougher as they keep moving on.
It wasn't too long ago Brunswick was one of the teams that was winning state titles. It's a team that Buckingham ran into in 2013.
They're darn good at basketball too.
They bounced Goochland I think the year after. But this is a team that's they've lost a whole bunch in a row. I think it's 5 of the last 6. We'll see. I mean, Goochland has an opportunity here to kind of come out strong early in these first couple quarters, and then maybe sort of take your foot off the pedal a little bit and rest guys and work people in.
That's the hope.
That's the hope every time you go on.
but
considering the game that they had against Amelia, I think you're going to see them come out with a lot of intensity. Brunswick has a couple guys, particularly at linebacker, Malik Hicks. So they've got some guys that can make a difference against that ground game. But I think you're going to see a lot of Quincy Sneed and Perry Sneed Johnson and these guys. They're going to come out and run right at him. Another guy to keep an eye on is Connor Populars. He was so good for them at just churning out the 3 and 5 yard gains up the middle. A heavy dose of him would not be a surprise in this one, as Gushen sort of looks to take advantage of its ability to platoon and just grind down a team. Populars is the guy to do that. So I think Gushen rolls in this one. I'd be very surprised if they don't come out and put together a great showing.
Let's stay in 2A. Buckingham back in the playoffs for the first time since 15. Is that right?
Yeah.
A really nice first year for Coach Wilkerson down there. He returned. He was the defensive coordinator for them before, back under Craig Gill. And he returns and gets them back on track in a big way. And they're doing this with a few key injuries. and they're overcoming and they're playing well. I mean, a very tough matchup with Glenver on the road, no question about it. But it's great to see Buckingham back in the mix.
Absolutely. I mean, this is a team with this mentality. They've been on the road. They upset Dan River a couple years ago in a game that not a lot of people saw them winning that one. We'll see if they can do it again. It's a tough one at Glenver. But Buckingham was sitting at 2-4 just a couple weeks ago. Coming off that Goochland loss. And yeah, the schedule looked favorable to them. But then they got all these rainouts and everything. They had to play four games in 13 days. And they won all four of them. And they managed to keep the key guys healthy. You know, this is a team that's on its third string quarterback and has been wow. since, you know, basically week two. We're seeing them put together a great season in a funky kind of way. Four games, 13 games is really weird. But if they can come out and you know, now a full week of practice, this is an opportunity for them to face a Glenvar team that, you know, is vulnerable. Those guys were 9-0, and then they fell last week to Radford. Radford's really good.
Really
so,
good.
You can excuse that one. But that's a team, of, you know, coming off a loss. Maybe they're vulnerable. And Buckingham's won four
maybe
straight.
They're
feeling hungry.
Also an option that they're just mad.
Yeah, but Walter Edwards is a great running back for them. I mean, this team, they keep it simple.
You're going to have to beat Buckingham physically.
You have to get after him up front. Edwards runs just pure uphill runner. And then they've got the options with Xavier Copeland and Deshaun Barty to sort of kick it out. Mm-hmm. Those guys are straight up athletes. I mean, they can fly. So we'll see if Buckingham throws a couple wrinkles in, maybe air things out a little bit. But I think for the most part, this is a game that will be decided on, you know, what's Walter Edwards' yard per carry? How long can he keep a strong defensive team? How long can he keep them on the field and grind them down and keep Buckingham's defense fresh? I mean, so many of those guys are playing both ways. It kind of doesn't really even matter. But this should be a fun one. I think it's going to be an old-fashioned defensive battle between two pretty solidly defensive teams.
No question. And then you flip over, if we move into Region 3C, we got two teams in that. We knew going into this year we usually have two teams in this region. But yeah, I think that if you'd projected it was Fluvanna, you would have felt a little crazy. But Fluvanna is in the mix. They're at Brookville, a game that's being played at Amherst because Amherst has turf. And that just makes it a little more weather friendly for the Flucos and the Bees. We get to see an old friend here, John Meeks, the head coach at Brookville. And he's taking on Fluvanna's wing tee that they've dropped three straight, but were really competitive for a half against Louisa. You know, they played really tight against Albemarle and Western. But here they are. They've lost three straight. They got to be hungry for one right here.
Yeah, and, you know, really one play away in that Albemarle game from winning that thing. So, I mean, Fluvanna ran into the adversity at the end of the year. I like the way that this team played in the first half of all those games. I think they held in there really well, even against Louisa, making things tough. So if you're playing well against that and you get to branch off, you know, let's give Fluvanna credit. Louisa's a 4A school. Albemarle's a 5A school. And Western, obviously, one of the better 3As. Mm-hmm. They've been playing solid competition, and that's going to account for something when you get into this region playoff. Like, they should be sharp. They should be ready for Brookville. The only problem with Brookville is they got this guy, Ryan North, running back, and he's really good. he's a big dude, sort of short but stout. He's like a fire hydrant. So they got to find a way to slow him down. And that's where Fluvanna's, I think, you know, in the times that you've seen him, the times that I've seen him, that's where they've shored up best, has been sort of up front and not getting physically overmatched. They've been the ones that have been able to sort of set the tone physically. They need to do that here in this Brookville game.
Malachi Hill's first team linebacker in all JD picks for a reason. He's been really good. Joey Van Dyke's been really good. Nate Smith's a heck of a linebacker too. They've got guys up there who can play. I like their back end too with Prophet Harris and Colby Martin. I think those guys are good. But up front, they're stout. They're tough. They're going to make you snap it again. They're going to make you work for yardage.
Yeah, and I think Harris is the guy where they just need him to have a day on both sides of the ball.
Prophet Harris is really the kind of game changer that you want in these kind of games.
They need him to be Devin McCray out of Goochland.
Yeah.
On both sides of the ball, he needs to be able to, you know, he doesn't have to carry the ball, you know, 30 times, but he's just got to find a way to break a couple and then, you know, playing solid cornerback. That's going to be huge in this one because you know, the Bees, they got Ryan North at running back. They can just hand it off to him 1,000 times. But they've also got a passing game. Zach Mann can whip the ball, and Brenda Brown is a really good receiver. Yeah. I assume Harris will be matched up with him. But this is going to be a tough one, you know, defensively, trying to slow down an offense that, you know, John Meeks has really fine-tuned, and this team is...
But if your back end steps up, man, then you've got a chance to throw some more guys at that run. Yeah. Maybe you get a better shot at Ryan North, you know? Yeah,
definitely.
But you're right about it. Meeks is going to have these guys ready.
Well, and Brookville's schedule, you know, they're 7-3, but you look at the teams that they lost. Heritage?
Yeah,
EC Glass.
Let me guess. Heritage, EC Glass.
Rustburg was the other, but, all right. I mean... That's nothing. Like,
dude, Heritage and EC Glass, like,
they're all highly ranked teams.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see. I mean, they cruised last week against Liberty Christian. Liberty Christian's finding
out. Is that in their conference? Did Brookville have to play Heritage and EC Glass in their conference?
It's nuts. And the Lynchburg football thing right now is
they're
crazy.
Popping, man.
And Liberty Christian made an investment into sort of the public side where they're like, oh man. This is a lot harder than
our
we thought.
Our timing was so bad.
Yeah, this is really tough. So, yeah, we'll see.
A lot of respect, by the way, for what those guys have done. Now that we know Woody at Glass. Jeff Woody used to be up here at Monticello. Brad Bradley, we ran into, he used to be at Amelia.
Yeah,
he's at Heritage now.
Show, yeah.
Man, they got – that's a great group of coaches down there, and we love Meeks, too. And they are tough. It's amazing what's going on. Quite a renaissance down in that area. And then you go a little south of there, you know, Appomattox, Gretna. I mean, it gets a little wild. A lot of good football down in that area. So
yeah, and so Fluvanna is up against it here.
Yeah.
You know, it's their first playoff game for any of these guys. Most of them weren't born the last time Fluvanna made the playoffs.
And that can be good, though. That can be good.
I think inexperience is a good thing. You know, sometimes when people know the pressure's on – especially for seniors, too. Maybe they invest too much in it. When you've got a bunch of guys that are like, oh, this is so cool.
I mean, you got a freshman quarterback. This is an incredible experience for Kobe Edmonds. He's getting a shot here to play in the playoffs as a freshman, to run this wing tee. He looked good early, especially against Louisa. If Fluvanna can protect the ball and hold on to it, because they couldn't against Louisa, but if they can protect the ball against Brookville, they're going to have a shot in this one.
Yeah, and I think the second half is the big one for them. You know, can they hold up in the second half physically and bring it the way Brookville will? Because if they could do that, we got ourselves a heck of a game. 4-5 matchup. This should be a good one.
Should be close. Flipping over, staying in Region 3C, Western versus Rockbridge, the Warriors. Man, I mean, you really couldn't ask for a better way of closing the season than Western has. Since that Louisa game, they've reeled it off, gotten a bunch of wins. They really took care of business. 8-2. What a turnaround from 2 years that were, you know, much lower, you know, just did not meet the expectations of what Ed Redmond expects from his squads. And so to see them turn around, it's really fantastic. And to do it, man, to change identities like they have. And they said it in preseason. And I'm going to be honest, like, part of me was like, I bet by week 7 they'll be figuring out a way to whip it around again. Yeah. I don't really believe that. I know Ed Redmond loves the run, but he also loves to win. And it feels like that Western has figured out ways to win when they're whipping it around. No, they were right. They were absolutely unequivocally right. I wasn't a believer right at the beginning, but they were right. They want to run the ball. They want to play defense, and they got the seniors to do it. Those guys have really been tremendous. And guys that have been stepping up, you know, guys like Wyatt Thomas, you know, is a name we didn't know. We already knew one Wyatt on the back end of that defense. Now there's another one. Wyatt Thomas comes up with a big pick, you know, in I think it was the Almar game. I mean, you know, when you're playing that way, when you're doing the kind of things that you need to do, and you got guys like that stepping up, or you got, you know, Bronson Brown putting together, he put a huge year together, 16.5 tackles for a loss. I mean, these guys all play well. They got 7 guys that are over 40 tackles or over 30 tackles. I mean, they're balanced. The defense is tough. The offense is getting it done. I think Rockbridge is going to have their hands full with this Western team.
Yeah, it's such a different identity, like you were talking about, from sort of the Stanton River days where you had to put up 80 points in a game to win. You know, Western has gone from sort of what a lot of people would sort of talk about, like, that's a lot of lacrosse players playing football, sort of in a spread look and just athletes everywhere, to all of a sudden, like, wow, this is smash mouth football.
Yeah.
You know, you got the Shiflets and the line in front of them just doing work.
Talk about, man, Carter Shiflet.
He's really developed. Really developed.
Vastly improved player, man. He went from, you know, maybe possibly the weak point to, man, like, that guy doesn't make me mistakes. I'll be honest, one little action that he runs, they ran it early against Almar. It's a sort of play action rollout to Leisman. The way he does it is kind of unique. Like, he kind of flips really quickly, and he suddenly is rolling out. And by the time he's rolling out and you've realized that he is already at, it looks like to me that he's already outside the tackle box just with the quickness of the move that he makes after he fakes it to Austin. So great coaching, good work by that group. And that play, you know, that play they run and that action they run, man, that's devastating because you have got to load up against Austin Shiflett. You got to figure out a way to stop him. And if Carter Shiflett can beat you back on the backside, you're in a lot of trouble.
And the thing that, that both Shiflets do such a great job of is the yards after contact. I think that sort of speaks to the physical identity of this team. Even the playmakers, those are guys that are grinding it out. You know, this is a, like roster wise, this is how you win football games. You run the ball and you play defense behind it. Yeah. It works really well in November when things get cold and messy.
No question. So this team is built right now.
Good,
to be able to
good
play
formula here. For Western going into this region tournament.
Yeah. And then you flip over region 4B. We know how loaded this region is, but Louisa, by winning out, taking care of business, while the other teams, like some of the other teams, slipped a little bit. I mean,
Eastern View drops down to a 4 seed in this region. They're undefeated.
This region is so the top part of Region 4B is unbelievable. And, you know, if Louisa takes care of business, we got to get into Eastern View. That's going to be unbeaten on unbeaten. That's game of the year. But first, they got to take care of business against the Huguenot team. Huguenot team, though, that has not beaten except one team, maybe, or maybe no teams that have a winning record. But and they got shelled last week. I feel like that walking into the jungle is always tough, but I think that when you're walking in with not a lot of momentum, it's even tougher. And Louisa is just playing really good football right now. I mean, we talked about it earlier. We love what they do defensively. They're just, it's very special, you know, plan they've put together, a very special way they've gone about it. It's a lot of fun to watch. And then you flip over and on offense, man, they're so multiple. They can come out and sling it with Rob Allender and test you down the sidelines or test you, you know, horizontally. And then, you know, if that's not going, they're going to get in there on the single wing and then they're going to test your physical metal and try and take your soul. So I think, I don't know.
You're going to shang some of it.
Dude, you got, dude, I'll tell you what, like, back in high school, I was the recipient. I was on the receiving end of some beatdowns from teams that ran physical wing T or like just downhill attacks, and it will take your soul. I mean, when you are getting shelled by a team that is running the same play over and over again, it is very hard to live with yourself as a man. And so, Louisa County's there to test your mettle. They're there to see what is up. And Goochland does a lot of this too, man. Goochland, under Joe Fowler, they used to go out and they used to see if you had the fortitude to be on that field with them. And Louisa does that, man. These guys are tough. They're rugged. And then, you know, they can also do a ton of stuff. The defense is so fast. I mean, it's just a lot of fun to watch Louisa County play football, and they just kind of keep it rolling. And I feel like that Huguenot, like I said, I feel like is a little bit outmatched in this one, and Louisa should be able to take care of business.
Yeah, I mean, you break down that region, and it's just like Huguenot's just like, oh, God, what do we do? Like, who do we want to play against?
Yeah.
Because you got Louisa, Monacan, Dinwiddie, and Eastern View. Those are the top four. Those are all nuts. The thing that's different for Louisa this time is they've got the one now. They had to hit the road after that first week with Cortland last year. And they got the job done pulling the upset of Monacan.
Got to bring it back to Lafayette with the Lafayette game, right?
Well, yeah, because they beat all the top seeds.
Suddenly not everybody out.
Yeah.
So
but that's a huge one. Yeah, I think
an added wrinkle, Huguenot is as a basketball team knocked Louisa out last year. So a little added wrinkle.
These guys know each other.
Yeah, they're gonna. This could be a little bit. We know how important Jarrett Hunter is in basketball. So this could be a lot of fun. It's gonna be interesting to see Louisa and Huguenot lock up. We feel like Louisa is gonna be moving on. No question about it. And that brings us to one more game. We're gonna have a special preview on this one coming up. Because you got a special preview Woodbury Episcopal.
I think this is 118 that they're up to now. This series has been really good the last couple years. You know, Woodbury sort of fell on a hard one on the road last year. And you know, it was sort of a tough first half for them. But that was a team that was really adjusting to a lot of different changes. I mean, almost a complete roster turnover. New coach coming in and just trying to figure out things. I think Scott Braswell has done a fantastic job at Woodbury, you know, taking over for Clint Alexander. But yeah, Episcopal, you know, for a long time, Woodbury was just pounding Episcopal. And then Episcopal decided to invest in its football team. And all of a sudden, the series got really good, like circa 2013, 14. They're just a lot of Division I athletes on the football mm-hmm. field. This is going to be a fun one. It always is. I mean, the show that they put on, you know, they break out the grandstands. Like, if you've been out to Woodbury, they have a super nice stadium. But then for this game, there's so many people that show up to it. They have to
Build the other stands. Half.
Yeah, like, so they build like a bowl around it. And if you go up to the game when it's at a Episcopal, I mean, it is a college football stadium, basically. Yeah. There's a ton of people. There's a huge tailgate beforehand. Woodbury does this bonfire the night before where they're burning like telephone poles. it's absolutely crazy. It looks like Lord of the Flies. Yeah, kids covered in paint running
this
around.
This one's a weird.
Fire.
It's one of the most interesting, like, just events that happens in high school sports is Woodbury Episcopal. The game is just so odd. It's so steeped in truth.
And we talk about it with people all the time, like, especially sort of new people to the area. Like, oh, yeah, you're going to the game. Like, it's pretty interesting. They're like, oh, yeah, I've heard a thing too. Like, no. Wait.
I've seen a lot of stuff in high school sports over the years, man. This one's one of the weirdest things that happens.
Yeah, it's, I mean, they get hyped. It's the oldest rivalry. It's got everything going for it. But Woodbury, like, just what they have sort of, they've done up front defensively, running this 3-2. They're somehow playing with a defensive front that doesn't have to, like, commit extra linebackers to stop the run. And that's been absolutely amazing for them. If they can keep that going against Episcopal.
Yeah, I think Alex Tisch is the defensive coordinator up there. We given him a shout out early, you know, a few weeks ago on the podcast, man. But that guy's done a good job too. That whole staff's solid. They just take care of business.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing the job defensively. They've got amazing athletes, obviously, in the secondary and everything. But
Is it Jax Hill?
Jax Hill's that they got huge back? Coming back for them. You know, he had an interception to seal the win against Fork Union last week. But I mean, really, this team is about what is Locklear going to do, dropping back a quarterback and getting the ball in the hands of DeKeese Carter and Kyle Bilodeau and George Pettigrew and all these guys. Reese Logan, I think he'll be the wrinkle at running back because he's good out of the backfield too. But you know, how many carries can he get, and how many times can he sort of move the chains? Because when you're having to throw the ball this often, I mean, time of possession becomes sort of an issue. You know, if you're only scoring on big plays, you're putting your defense out in the field the entire time. You got to find a way to throw the ball the way it is, sort of running the ball. And we've seen that a lot in college football and the pros, just sort of short passes to, you know, sort of essentially run the ball and chew up some clock. So we'll see if that's what Woodbury comes out and does against a really solid Episcopal team. There's sort of similar records here. You know, Woodbury, I mean, the series going back, Woodbury got knocked off in an undefeated season there in 2014. 2015 comes back and plays the most contentious high school football game I've ever seen in a tie game. That was nuts.
This rivalry just has a life of its own, man. You never know what's going to happen when you show up. Yeah. The old throw out the records cliche isn't just throw out the records. It's throw out whatever you thought you knew about the players before the game.
Oh, no. There's so much emotion that goes into this one. Yeah. And then, you know, after that tie, they come back and they win Clint Alexander's last game. Mm-hmm. Tensions were high in that one. Woodbury pounded Episcopal.
There's a lot of tension. That's what we're trying to say.
Yeah. So, and then last year, Episcopal came out and did a good job. New coach over there. So we'll see how much that adds into it. But yeah, while there's a lot of different pieces in this rivalry than there were in previous past, it does not take long for people to get sort of indoctrinated into the game. And it's going to be fun to go see that one.
Yeah. So that wraps it up, man. This is always a fun week. First week of the playoffs. Next week, we got Stab and Covenant jumping.
Next week,
it's
real fun. Yeah. Like, I mean, once we move on to the second round, like, that's... Let's find out who's got it.
Yeah, but we're going to find... Yeah, a lot... This is fun, man. A lot of teams... You know, hey, we can't say it enough. Fluvanna County in the playoffs. First time since 2000. That's pretty awesome stuff. So, appreciate you listening. We'll be back next week to break down whatever's next. We'll see. We'll find out coming Friday.